Hello and welcome once again to the CGW Radio Podcast. This is the podcast for August 29th, 2006, and I am Jeff Green, the editor-in-chief of Computer Gaming World, and with me today are a few of the CGW editors, which include
Ryan Scott,
Darren Gladstone,
and Sean Malloy.
We are down one Sean today. Sean Elliott is on vacation right now, right? He's on vacation?
Yeah.
I think so.
Though he keeps checking in on that. I keep seeing messages from him on the 1UP message board. So the whole actually being on vacation thing is a little lost on Sean.
I don't think he can actually disconnect.
Yeah. Most of us have that problem, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to unplug these days. It's a little sad. I was checking email on my vacation in San Diego.
Damn you, technology.
It's not good.
Yeah, it's not good. Should I admit to the folks that this is take two of the CGW podcast today. We did this already once and we lost the whole thing. Well, not the whole thing. We were like 5-10 minutes
in. 5 minutes in.
So it wasn't that big of a deal.
It was a quality rant, though.
It was a quality rant. It was a great lost podcast. It's like an old Dylan bootleg or something. You know? in the first round, we were talking about Sean Elliott's crisis review or preview, which had led to a thread on 1UP where somebody was berating him for his vocabulary. And I had gone around and asked you all if you knew what the word perspicacious meant, because he used that in the preview. And we admitted, for those of you, which is all of you, who didn't hear it the first time around, that none of us knew what that word meant. But now, Darren, have you looked it up?
Yes, actually, the definition is acutely insightful and wise. As used in a sentence, much too perspicacious to be taken in by such a spurious argument. So I'm sure that was actually a sentence probably used by Sean Elliott as well.
Right. So there you have it. That's what perspicacious means. And never say that we're not educational here at CGW. We're here to inform you and entertain you.
Infotain you.
We're here to infotain you.
That's okay. Infotainment.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Never liked that word. So I've played nothing because I've been too busy. Pimping games for Windows and not playing. But has anybody else been playing games in the last week? Ryan?
I've played a little bit of EVE Online, mostly. I've just been packing for my impending move.
Now, when you say playing EVE Online, do you mean actually playing it or just letting your character level up in the background while you pack?
But actually, you've been playing it no matter what, right?
I've played a little bit of it. Not too much. So I'm kind of curious to play DEF CON, which I think a lot of you guys have been playing.
Yeah, I played that last week.
Was it good?
Yeah, it's cool. I'm not into it enough yet that I really know what I'm doing and feel I can hold my own. I'm still kind of in tutorial phase, but it's really cool. It's fast.
I'm kind of bummed I didn't get a chance to play much of it because I had to go to Penny Arcade Expo. Mm-hmm. But before I went, there's one thing I did notice which is pretty cool is that there's basically it's a minimized game mode. So as you're playing it, I mean, this basically encourages you to goof off at work, which is
so it's like a boss key.
They call it office mode.
That's awesome.
So you double tap the escape key and it minimizes, and it becomes a little icon in your desk tray. And then, if there's an event that pops up or something that really demands your attention, a little notification box comes up, and you click that, and it goes right into the game.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know what DEF CON is, it's if you've ever seen War Games, Global Thermonuclear War, that fake game that the computer plays, it's pretty much that. It's developed by the guys who did Darwinia. So it kind of has that same kind of simple but glowy look to it.
And don't forget Uplink.
Uplink.
The game we did before that. Awesome game.
That was
as well.
Super. I didn't realize actually that Uplink and Darwinia were the same guys.
Yeah.
They're on a big roll, that company. Who is it?
Introversion.
Okay.
It's kind of like their mantra, make these low tech games that are just really good. And in this day and age when everyone's worrying about the uncanny valley and having these super hyper realistic, graphics.
Right.
Here's a game it looks good and unique and it's fun as hell.
How weird is it that it took all this time for someone to make a game based on war games? That was, such an idea just waiting for us. You know?
Too long, I say. Too long.
Indeed.
Other games have been played by CGW people? That was kind of a passive sentence.
Yeah. A good time was had by all.
a non-PC game, but a damn fun one is Dead Rising.
Dead Rising. Yeah, everybody, you're still playing it too, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. A
little bit.
For all my zombie-killing needs.
It's still frustrating in a lot of ways. There's an awesome game wrapped around some really stupid design decisions that I don't understand.
But, yeah, you know what? I totally agree. It's like it's as if they just ignore the general tenets of like what makes a game fun.
Plus, they assume I have an HDTV, which is a horrible assumption.
Oh, I've heard that about that the print is super tiny.
Yeah, it's microscopic. Yeah. I have to like lean in really close to my television.
Yeah, you know what? I was noticing that too. While I was on the road, I was getting my quick zombie killing fix in, and they had a standard def TV when I was playing it, and like I had to really like I was sitting right in front of the TV basically like.
Are we ever going to get a PC port of this game, though?
No.
No, I doubt it.
Damn it.
Enough of that one.
All right.
Yeah, then forget it.
Screw it.
I'm not interested.
No more promotion.
Yeah. Screw Dead Rising. That's what CDW has to say.
Put that on your box, Capcom.
CDW says go to hell. So, Darren, you alluded to the fact that you were at the Penny Arcade Expo.
Yes.
Tell the fine folks and us. Actually, what happened there?
Okay, first of all, for those of you who aren't familiar with what it is, it's basically it's a convention around Penny Arcade, the online comic webtoon comic strip, whatever. And it started off a couple of years ago. It's just kind of a small community get together thing for fans of the site. And it's kind of grown into more of a gamer centric. I wouldn't say an E3, but it's certainly more of a. It's becoming a much more polished event.
It's kind of turned into a big deal.
It's sort of an amazing
success story for those guys.
Absolutely, and I think that the thing that I was thinking over this weekend as I was going through the event, through Penny Arcade Expo, was that E3, while fun for us on some base level, it's like it lost the message, and it became this it was all about the booth babes and whoever had the loudest booth and the most obnoxious dancers and like whatever, and this thing. All the volume was turned down. It was just a convention center packed with people who were just normal and they liked playing games. There was no attitudes.
Well, because it's aimed at gamers, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to retailers and advertisers.
It's not a trade show.
Right. Yeah. It's like for once I felt like I could like unleash the inner geek and not worry about all the bullshit I deal with normally on these things.
Mm-hmm.
And quite honestly, like I went to this thing and it reminded me of like why I love what I do.
That's cool.
That's good.
Because, I'm not going to get into too much of the office politicky stuff right now, but...
We had a rough week last week
internally, and I wrote a really fiery column in honor of that. So, there are people who have pissed me off in this industry lately, and I keep thinking, I'm like, what the hell's wrong with people? But then I go to something like PAX, and it reminds me that, it's about the games.
Gabe and Tycho brought you back.
That's right.
Thank you, Gabe and Tycho.
You magnificent bastards.
I love them.
Yeah.
They're great.
Didn't you get them to sign your Nintendo DS?
Yes, I did.
You did?
Awesome.
How pathetic is that?
That's pretty nerdy.
You know what? I was just kind of goofing around. And I'm like, what the hell?
Yet I'm kind of jealous. Did they draw a little drawing on it too?
There was no room on the thing.
Oh.
No, I hear they don't look like they're cartoon characters.
What?
Sorry.
Okay, so on to the actual convention itself. Let me see. During the big announcements during it is that they're making a game, or I should say they're working with Hothead Games, new company. I'll get to that in a second. But the name of the game, in typical Penny Arcade fashion, is called "On the Rainslick Precipice of Darkness, Episode 1."
Awesome.
Yeah, that's a mouthful. Try fitting that on a box.
On the Rainslick Precipice of Darkness.
Yes, and I'm actually you can't see this, but I'm holding up a picture right now. they handed out these little announcement cards.
Shouldn't it be Rainslicked?
No.
What?
It should be Rain Slick.
Wait, let me see it again.
Okay, here we go.
The Rain Slick. Oh, I get it.
Yeah,
I get it. Okay. I get it.
Yay.
I get it.
So do we know
Jeff
anything?
Gets it. Put that on the box.
A candle went up above my head. What do we know about this?
Well, okay, so first of all, about the guys that formed Hothead or former Radical Studios and EA guys from Vancouver.
Okay.
Around. So basically, these are guys who worked on the Simpsons Hit and Run game.
Oh,
and the
fine game.
Yes, and the Hulk Ultimate Rampage game, the second Hulk
game.
Oh,
that was good, too.
Exactly. So like these guys have,
Good pedigree there,
and I'm definitely psyched for what they're trying to do. It's an episodic game, and they haven't really talked – they're keeping their cards really close right now, but I talked to Steve Bosca, B-O-C-S-C-A, him, and Joel DeYoung, the two guys basically running the project. And it's so early on, they want to make sure that they make a game that's not going to just kind of focus on Penny Arcade fans, like someone who doesn't know the Penny Arcade comics.
So are Gabe and Tycho in this game?
All his characters. They're trying to figure out ways to incorporate everything they want to incorporate from the Penny Arcade universe.
It's kind of interesting that that's happening. Because they're, do they count as journalists? I'm not trying to. I don't want to get into some weird
definition
of
new games journalism
or whatever. But
It's actually a really fascinating question. You're right, because these guys are they're commentators. They're gaming.
That's what I'm trying to say. They commentate on the industry, and now they're going to be in a game. And it's as if we were characters in a game. God forbid.
Right, and the funny thing is, I interviewed them I guess it was 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. We ran a CGW interview in the magazine, and I asked them this very question, and they actually said that it would be kind of surreal having a game about themselves. And I kind of want to go back now and revisit that question with them. But
yeah,
I bet it's surreal.
well, it's surreal, and also they don't want to try to kind of step over that line. But I guess right. If they do it right,
is it going to be like a parody of a game? You think? Just because they're known for their humor and just kind of making fun of everything, or
I can only speculate.
Sure, it will have a very sarcastic bent to it.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, I expect no less. I think that they're actually because they're so close. They're in Seattle and Hothead's based out of Vancouver. They're actually going back and forth a lot. They're spending time just kind of putting together the plot and the script and stuff like that.
I guess a dark melodrama really wouldn't fit.
Yeah. Yeah, the brooding guy on the rooftop trying to save the world.
It was so sad when Tycho died.
Hey, you never know.
I guess not.
Okay, so other things that came out of the...
Yeah, tell us more about PAX.
More PAX. Okay, so they actually announced that, how Penny Arcade is known for doing charity, very specific charity work. So they are starting up a fund, I guess, basically a scholarship for people who want to go to school to learn how to make games. They actually are going to, I guess, a $10,000 scholarship.
Hmm. Do they have scholarships for people who want to go to school and just play games? Or do you have to want to make them?
I think
I could have used that back when I went to college.
Yeah, I'm
still looking for the 1940s.
I'm still looking for the scholarship, it'll pay me to drink and...
Yeah. So, okay, so is it for specific, game design schools, or...?
Well, no, actually, it'll obviously apply to game design schools, but I think they're still trying to work out the specifics on it. Mm-hmm. But the general idea is, if you have the intention of going through school and then afterwards going to make games, they would kick money your way.
Huh. It's cool how, enough time has gone on now that, the idea of going to college to learn how to make games now isn't
too far-fetched.
It's not really a joke, no. Right? There's film schools all over the country, and now it's such a big business, it totally makes sense.
Yeah, I just remember when I was, remember there's an old Far Side cartoon from years ago about some parents reading the paper with the one ad looking for someone who plays games professionally.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's...
It's actually kind of real.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, there's some serious specialized skill sets you need to make these things these days, so it's not surprising at all.
Just like there are for games journalists, it's very specialized skill sets for us. Such as... Anyway, what else happened at PAX?
Okay, just two quick things. One was a live RPG event, I guess.
A LARP?
A LARP, if you will.
Really?
Well, it wasn't it wasn't dudes dressing up and saying fireball, lightning bolt.
Lightning bolt.
Saving throw.
Not that we all know what that would be like.
No, not at all. Never done that. No, but it was for Guild Wars. Basically, I had this competition throughout the show, solving Sudoku puzzles, target shooting, cool little things like that. It was actually...
Did you do Sudoku in Guild Wars, Ryan?
Well, no.
I don't recall ever playing Sudoku in Guild Wars.
It was a very loose translation. It wasn't
of Sudoku.
Yeah.
Where the hell did that come from? What? There's no
phenomenon?
Escape from... Well, I know where it came from. it came from Japan in 1940. Why all of a sudden now? I was on a plane the other day. Half the plane was doing Sudoku puzzles. It was weird to me. It was like some freaky virus.
I remember when I was in London last year, when I was doing the cover story for Enemy Territory.
Yeah.
And... That was really before it kind of hit in the States, and everyone there, it really is like a virus.
It's everyone, weird.
People be
I'm telling you, it's because the jumble has gotten lazy.
Because yeah, when they're doing jumbles of four-letter words, you know, yeah.
Cat,
yeah. T-C-A. Come on now.
Because crossword is for bitches.
I've done Sudokus a few times. Mm-hmm. It's just, I don't know.
It's fun.
Are you a Sudoku person?
Yes.
I was briefly addicted for a very short amount of time until I, like, learned the pattern that I always tried, and then I got bored of it. Like, because once I kind of said, okay, now this is the rule set, now I figured out what I need to try to figure out, then it was like, I'm just applying this rule set.
I tried playing the PSP version, and then I just had this like real bout of existential angst. You know, what the hell am I? I got this fancy machine that I'm playing this dumbass game on. I don't know. Then I just went back to Lumines.
Synesthesia.
How do we get? I'm sorry.
I don't know.
I got way off on a tangent.
Guild
there.
Wars LARPing. And
oh, right. I'm sorry.
Like
wow. Sorry, Darren.
That's okay. Dude, hey, I was right there with you.
Rewind noise.
And last but not least, I'll just talk about the Omegathon really quick. So it's kind of like a decathlon of gaming that they have every year. And this time around, it started off with a dice game called Diceland. I have no idea what that's about. Missed it. So.
Okay.
Then round two is Geometry Wars.
Ooh.
What's
I like that guy, Sean.
What's your high score?
470,000.
That's good. I got close to a million, but then I got
it. Yeah, I'm not that good yet.
Okay.
anyone
else?
Wait, this was I don't have an Xbox 360, so I can't play Geometry Wars.
For shame.
I know.
Well, maybe you can put some good words in with the people at Microsoft.
Yeah. Microsoft, I could use it. 360. Free one. Can't afford it. Wife mad.
All right. Let me see. So what? Okay. So the next round was Quake 3.
Okay.
A real modern game like
so
that.
So this was a decathlon, you said?
Well, it's kind of like a decathlon. And ultimately, the prizes for, like, you know, I think last year it was this like a collection of like basically every game and game system made to date.
That's every a pretty nice prize.
It's some like ridiculous collection of stuff. I don't know what the prize was this year because I actually had to leave a little early. But
okay, probably not every game ever made.
Well, I mean, it was like
Year's prize was something like that. I remember seeing the picture of the stack. It was
really.
It was like inside a cage in the middle of the hall. It was this huge stack of stuff.
But even like
every
you know,
game, but
yeah, not.
I mean,
it was a
like,
lot.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It certainly was a comprehensive collection.
It was quite a bit. Yeah.
Like Test Drive 12. I mean, you know, every lame game.
I think it was console.
Okay.
Or, you know.
All right. Gone.
Jeez. Bunch of freaking sticklers here.
Sorry. I'm still mad about losing the first podcast, so this is. Okay, go.
Okay. Next round was Guitar Hero, which was I sat on that one. That was fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And let me see. The last one was kind of the second to last one was kind of funny as well. Is Mario Kart Double Dash? Mm-hmm. So there's like a bunch of people like with DS just kind of lined up in a tense competition. And the last round, the one I had to leave in the middle of to catch a flight, the Nintendo version of Tetris, NES,
awesome.
NES Tetris.
Oh, the original NES.
It was versus mode. I think it was the Tengen one.
Ooh.
Okay,
huh? You would have won if you hadn't had to leave for the flight, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
so I would have stuck around for the winter. I've been checking. I haven't had a chance to check the boards yet this morning, but it was.
That's pretty cool.
It sounds fun.
It's
just like the whole weekend is kind of like that, though. It's just like
so. It's like fun, happy gaming weekend.
Pretty much, and the thing is, there is also like demos of new games and stuff like that. They had Pirates of the Burning Sea was there. This game called Fury. And I guess the part that I really appreciated was it's like they're doing their thing, and they have the volume was just low.
Mm-hmm.
No. I'm not deafened, no hard sales pitch. Oh, actually, there was a hard sales pitch from the America's Army game.
Oh, really?
They had a shooting range, uh-huh. You know, with a you know the game shooting range, and then they had recruiters basically talking to people. So like they would say, "Hey, you want to try out this game? Want to come around?" And they would hand you the you know, I'm interested in enlisting form kind of thing, or like, not the form, but like a postcard saying I want more information about joining the army.
Uh huh. Well, I guess that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense.
They're looking for more people.
I'm not going to give them crap. I don't know. At least they're being honest, you know.
Right. Hey, they're going where the, you know, where the males of that age are, right?
They're
playing video games.
I just thought it was kind of funny. I mean, like, I know that I look my age, you know, 30-ish.
Mm-hmm. So they didn't try to recruit you?
No, I actually, there's a totally different approach the guy took with me as opposed to the 18 and 19-year-olds that were walking up and wanting to get a couple shots.
Uh-huh. Actually, that you just reminded me of this time I was on BART, and I was wearing my old motorcycle boots, which were just sort of like, you know, they looked like military boots, and there were these two pretty cute young women sitting near me, and they were talking, and then they looked over at me, and they said, "Hey, we just had a bet. We were wondering if you had those when you used to be in the Army." And and what made me laugh was there used to be in the Army, because clearly I was too old to actually still be in the Army.
That's right. Sergeant Green and his hard-nosed red
back in the Korean War when I was in World War II.
Back when you were fighting the...
damn it.
never mind.
What did you say to him?
The Nazis. I said, "Shut up, you damn kids."
I'm reading. Get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn. Yeah. So here on our list of topics... There's a thing that says, I'll just actually read it. It says, "Not really PC gaming, but holy crap. You can download a full TV show over Xbox Live, Battlestar Galactica, the story so far." And that appeals to me because I am fully on the Battlestar Galactica bandwagon now. So tell us what this means.
This means...
And is there any PC relation?
There is no PC relation whatsoever.
Damn it.
Sadly, no. But on Xbox Live, you can download the 500... It's a 500 meg file, and it's a 2-hour show. You can watch it.
Oh, wait. So it's not the seasons of Battlestar Galactica.
Is it like a...
It's kind of like the story.
Retrospective episode?
It's a catch-up thing for everything that's happened in the show so far.
Did they make it just for Xbox Live?
I don't know. I just kind of saw it before.
Is it free?
It's totally free.
Wait, so is this the equivalent of those dumb Lost clip shows that they play?
It might be. For some people who haven't seen all of the shows, I know like Sean Elliott hasn't seen them all.
And of course, once again, we're talking about Xbox stuff.
Damn it.
The official Xbox podcast, apparently.
Okay, well, we do have news coming up next that is more PC related things.
And you can download every single episode of Battlestar Galactica on your PC.
Yes,
through iTunes
or BitTorrent it. I mean,
or Bit. Right now.
I mean not.
Oh, and I said iTunes, which is Apple.
You suck.
But it's true.
This podcast
iTunes
is a
music store.
Complete disaster. The original one was awesome.
We're having identity problems.
We really are. Let's put a big thing up on the wall here. PC. Computer gaming world.
Or, never mind.
But
the
actually, we can.
Consoles are computers.
Oh, right. That's what Sony says, isn't it?
Yeah.
They do say that.
Boo.
What did Sony say?
Consoles are computers.
PS3 is a computer.
Bastards. Okay. Well, let's talk about something very specific to PCs and Microsoft, our new lords and masters, and that would be the Vista pricing, which came out, which we're now told maybe through somebody at Microsoft that these prices that got announced may in fact be the Canadian prices, and since we know how screwed up Canada is, that this might have absolutely no relation to us whatsoever.
But anyway,
I kid Canada.
That's right, because it says here it costs two bottles of beer for the Vista.
That's nice. And a moose.
Two bottles.
And a moose.
And a dog sled team.
We kid.
And it's called Vista Ultimate A.
Right. So we've got all sorts of pricing for the full version of Vista, starting with the home basic at $233
potentially Canadian dollars.
Potentially Canadian dollars.
PCDs.
Right. Going all the way up to Vista Ultimate at $450.
Ah, loonies even.
Loonies. So it goes from basic, $233, premium, $269, business, $341, and ultimate, $450. That's a pretty big jump from the basic of $233 to the ultimate for $450.
They're kind of going from like this pricing model to me looks kind of like, you know, somewhere between what they do with like, you know, cable subscriptions.
Yeah.
And what
gold,
they,
silver.
Yeah, exactly. And then there's the, I guess, the analogy with like what they did with the Xbox 360.
Right. Mm-hmm. So what do you think you're going to get in Ultimate that you didn't get in Basic? That like someone who just is a gamer, uses their PC basically for that,
my
is going to want?
My bet, I'm just operating off names right here. Mm-hmm. But if I were to break it down.
So
like
basically
this,
we know nothing. That's our disclaimer.
That's pretty, yeah, exactly. Well.
Yeah, there's a CGW here.
As if we know anything ever.
Right.
But I mean, like, I'd say that probably the premium one is going to have, like, the gaming-centric stuff that people actually care about.
Like what?
You know, the optimizations and the WinSat, you know, tool that's working in the background to make sure your gaming performance is the best. But, like, the ultimate upgrade is probably going to be, like, you know, GarageBand or, you know, the equivalent of some kind of video editing stuff.
But actually, we should say here we also have prices for the upgrades, which we're assuming are going to be right
from XP.
from XP. Home basic upgrade, $116. Premium, $179. Business, $224. Ultimate upgrade, $269. So the cheapest you could actually go here is $116. If you already have XP and you just want to upgrade to the most basic Vista. Mm-hmm. At least these numbers now that we have that could be Canadian.
Right. Yeah, and that was actually Microsoft was reached for comment. They said they declined. But the this information was pulled from the Microsoft Canadian retail page. Mm-hmm. So that's all we have to go on right now.
Which isn't a lot.
Exactly. Very little, but it's just something.
So our one topic that was actually about the PC. So a little sketchy.
When did XP come out? Does anybody remember?
I want to say. Let me see. There was Windows 2000. I want to say like 2002.
Who knows?
This is our least prepared. How could we not know this stuff? Really?
I remember.
For shame. It's all a blur, man.
I remember getting an OEM copy of Windows XP with a bunch of new PC hardware in 2002 for like $89. Mm-hmm. And it was the full version. It wasn't like an upgrade or anything.
I think it's fairly safe to say we're going to have to keep talking about this because obviously it's a big deal when people should upgrade. I don't think I upgraded to XP right away. I think I waited. I usually wait. I get scared of upgrades. I don't want to do it and then find out, you know, my stuff doesn't work.
Right.
I need to see other people like be screwed first. And then they test the waters, they get their PCs hosed. Well, like 6 months after that, I
everything's patched and ready for you.
I usually time my OS updates with when I need a new computer.
Yeah, I do that too.
So I basically tell people to hold off as long as possible on buying a new computer. And like a couple issues ago, we ran that feature on how to build a $700 PC.
Right.
That's the kind of thing I would do until Vista came out, and then see what needs to happen.
I just don't really want to upgrade until I know I need to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if XP if the games aren't taking advantage of Vista. And they run just fine on XP, then I don't want to spend the money for a new one, you know, unless I'm really told that there's something I'm gaining from Vista that really matters to me.
Yeah, it took me a long time to get to XP, if I remember right, which I don't. It's a blur.
Yeah. I actually really
like
XP.
Do the same.
That's the other thing.
I've grown to like it.
I went from 98 to XP.
Ooh.
Big
skipped
jump.
2000.
I skipped 2000, yeah.
I used 2000. I had the misfortune of using ME as well, though.
Yeah, I didn't do that.
Oof, that's not as good as MS Bob, of course, but
Bob.
I do want to find out the original XP pricing structure just to see, because when you look at these numbers here, just on paper here, the most basic, like say you're not upgrading, you're buying a new PC with your first operating system, $233.
Right.
Seems like a lot.
Right.
But I can't remember if XP.
I think it was around 200-ish.
Was it?
Yeah, I don't think it's too. The pricing is too far off from what it's been.
Most of the time, it's bundled in with a new PC.
Well, because
a lot of people, you know, go the Dell route or whatever.
Right.
So, but I mean, the number that sticks out for me is that 450.
Yeah, like, that's pretty glaring.
I see that, and then ignore the rest of it.
That's a lot of money.
That's more than the 360.
Yeah, it's more than the 360 console.
You know, what I find myself wondering, though, is if this price includes, I don't know, Office Suite or something like that.
Well, that's the kind of information that we as journalists need to find out.
There you have it.
Because you're right. But I'll bet you a dollar here on air right now.
Ooh.
That's how certain I am of my
your conviction.
My conviction.
A full dollar.
A
Canadian?
One full dollar.
Canadian or American.
Canadian.
Or Turkish.
Right. That Vista Ultimate does not include the Office Suite.
You know what? I'll take that action.
Really? Okay. There it is. One Canadian dollar on the line here.
Matter of fact, that's $1.
So you think
that's the magic of radio. It wasn't really a dollar.
That's right. Oh,
whoops.
Don't tell them. Great.
Oops. I just ruined the magic.
I think it's kind of dumb that there are four versions.
Well, I mean, there were two versions of, like, if you think about it, there was XP Pro and XP Home.
Yeah.
It's adding a couple between layers.
Yeah. Well, and the Pro would have been like Vista Business here, right?
Yeah.
The weird ones here are like the Home Basic and then Home Premium.
Yeah.
I mean, what's up with that? Just put it all together. And then the Premium is $30 more than the Basic. I mean, did they have to do that? Seriously. Just whatever was in the Premium.
Is there a porn browser in the Premium one? I mean, what are they throwing in
there?
No?
That'd be awesome. No, that'd be great.
That is a
right.
Premium.
Why do they have a whole separate version that's just $30 more? That just seems stupid to
me. Okay, now again, all speculation.
Right.
Oh, you're right. We don't even know if this is real. Right. So if I said anything bad to Microsoft, I'm sorry.
We do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Backbones.
We're all feeling the countdowns coming on to the new magazine.
It's not quite senioritis, but it's definitely something.
I think I have senioritis a little bit. But I sort of want it to be Games for Windows Magazine already, but yet also kind of don't.
Yeah, no, actually, I was talking.
Conflicting emotions.
I was talking to some developers this weekend, and we all kind of had this, like, I wouldn't say a teary moment over a beer, but we're just like, they were sharing their memories because, like, these guys were reading the magazine for, like, 10 years or plus years, and they're going, like, man, I remember this. They were going back and forth talking about, like, some of their favorite articles and stuff over the years.
Yeah.
For the listeners at home, we're just starting working on the last CGW.
Right. So that's why we're sort of in this frame of mind right now.
Yeah, and actually
putting together the contents for the last CGW.
And something kind of, I guess, sombering or kind of ironic. I don't know what I'm looking for here, but like basically it's
perspicacious.
Yes, perspicacious. the 25 year anniversary, month to month, of when we launched the magazine, the November issue, that our last issue at CGW, is going to be our 25 year anniversary.
Serendipitous.
There you go. Thank you.
Serendipitous. 25 there's and last. Word. Not really our last, though.
No.
It's a new beginning.
It's a new beginning.
The next generation, if you will.
If you will.
And we will.
and we will. How are we at on time?
We got 31 minutes here.
31 minutes.
This is struggling long enough.
31 minutes of nothing. Nah, we've had our moments.
We also had 5 lost minutes.
5 great
lost minutes.
They were so awesome.
It
was comedy, genius, just insightful, witty remarks, and you'll never hear them. But I do have some reader questions. And should I ask any of these?
Are they good?
They're all horrible.
No, there's some good ones here. Let's see.
And by the way, keep those questions coming. We didn't get a chance to sift through them all, as many as we'd like to this week, but next week definitely.
Yes, definitely please keep the questions coming. You guys ask great ones, and we like to hear them and make fun of them behind your back. Just kidding. Okay, how about this one? From Kyle Uller, Hajek or Hajek. I'm sorry for mispronouncing your name if I did. I love you anyway. Kyle, that I can pronounce, he asks, do you guys think current games have the same ability to pull you back in a few years later that a decent number of old games have? I know my XCOM and Deus Ex addictions still come back to haunt me, for example. So in a way, he's sort of asking us to predict the future, sort of. Are there games that we're playing now that we think are going to be the classics that we return to? I know that for me, I certainly have games like that. Heroes of Might and Magic 3 I go back to, Diablo 2.
But is there anything out now that
Fallout,
really...
Fallout. But is there anything now that's going to have that same kind of... Kind of hard to tell.
Yeah.
But what do we think?
That's tough. I mean, it's kind of hard to know if a game will really stand the test of time until you kind of separate a little from it.
Right.
I mean...
If it has the timeless classic quality to it.
Maybe I'll go back to Half-Life 2 at some point, you know, down the road and want to play it again.
I could see that maybe. I kind of think Titan Quest might hold up for me over time.
Really?
Just in the same way that Diablo 2 does. Hmm.
The first game that jumps to my mind, it's not the most current game, but the 2004 Sid Meier's Pirates.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that's a
good one, Ryan. Yeah.
Because I used to go back to the old Pirates.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Civilization in that way, because, like, I keep going back to the latest Civilization, no matter what it is.
Yeah, that's right.
So, certainly never go back to 3.
Right, but certainly Civ 4 is going to hold up.
Right.
Right. Pirates was a good one.
Yeah, that's very good. Bravo.
Yeah, there's games that every time when I weed through the pile, there's always some that I save as, like, yeah, I'll probably play this again in that mythical later time in my life when I have nothing to do but play games. And I know that Pirates made that cut.
Actually, you know what game that I've been thinking about it. I want to go back and play Vampire: The Masquerade Bloodlines.
Really?
The second one. Not not the first
The source
one,
right?
Okay.
The source-based one by Troika.
Right.
Before
That's something I regret missing.
Really?
Yeah.
That game? I guess I missed it too, actually.
I want to go back and play that one. Yeah. I remember that, like, as Robert was playing it, I was kind of just starting to get into it, and then I ran into some major, like, bug issues.
Mm-hmm.
And then they released this patch after the fact, and I never got back to it, but I should.
Can you guys think of games on your hard drives right now that are have, you know, past their expiration date, but you have them because you keep thinking you're going to finish them? I can think of a couple.
Well, I wouldn't say finish, but replay.
Or replay.
Darwinia.
Okay.
That has permanent place of honor, and plus it's just so damn small, I have no excuse to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
No. I guess I don't keep around the old ones because I think I can just reinstall them.
I have San Andreas on there. I don't really. San Andreas. Mm-hmm. Never finished, but I don't want to delete it because I got so far in.
And plus, you put the hot coffee mod on there, so.
Right. You know what's still on my hard drive that I have never finished? It's Baldur's Gate 2. I've never finished that game.
You have no excuse. It was only like 2 hours long.
Yeah.
You know, and actually, I can tell you, I'm going to keep Oblivion on my hard drive, despite the fact I will never beat it.
Oblivion's I still have there. Oblivion on there. Yeah.
I haven't gone back to that one in a while.
I had to go cold turkey.
That one's hard to pick up again after a break, I've found. Sort of hard. For me, it's hard to remember like all the various plot threads. Yeah, what I was doing.
Well, does the journal kind of cover that for you? Or
it does, but I don't want to.
But when you're playing and you like stop for the night, you're like, all right, tomorrow I'm going to do this, this, and this.
Yeah.
You don't want to read the essay, yeah.
Yeah.
How about you, Ryan?
I think Freedom Force.
Oh, that's a good
answer. Good answer. Those,
another cool. good answer. Yeah.
The first game, I played through a bit of it, but never finished it.
You know, I never even played Third Reich. Hmm. I have it. I still have it. That one's sitting in my to-be-played pile.
Is that because you're not as huge a fan of the Silver Age comics?
No, I am a fan of the Silver Age comics. I think it just came out at a time when I just was busy playing other stuff, you know, as tends to happen.
I
think I have almost all the Black Isle games now that I think about it in the to-be-replayed pile, like Torment.
Torment
I've always
Torment.
Meant to
yeah.
go back and do again. Yes. Fallout, the original Fallout, I've been wanting to play. I've been really itching to play Fallout again. I do hope we get word on Fallout 3 sometime soon.
Me too.
Yeah, I'm definitely anxious to hear more about that one.
Hopefully we'll read about it first in our magazine.
Not sure it would be nice.
Yeah. You hear what I'm saying there, Bethesda? We want to hear about it in our magazine.
We love you.
Bastards.
that was like good cop, bad cop. At the same time.
Yeah.
Schizo.
let's see. So we hit any other questions? Let's end on a good one. Do we have any? Do we have any good ones?
Dear CGW, why are you so awesome?
Signed, Ryan Scott. Signed, Ryan's mom.
Rod Cervantes asks, when will you guys bring back Scorpio?
I was so afraid you were going to ask that question. You suck, Ryan.
The answer is stop asking that question.
That question comes up a lot. When are we bringing back Scorpia? Are we going to try to bring back Scorpia for the last issue? What do you say, boys?
You know what? I say what the heck. I wouldn't mind hearing from her for that last issue.
I will confess to all the listeners that I am actually trying to round up as many of the old school folks that we can to chime in on this very last issue. And that will include Scorpia. So Scorpia, if you're listening out there, we would love for you to chime in on our last issue. We could put all our old differences aside. We can hug, you know, metaphorically speaking, in the magazine. And anybody else out there? Martin Cerulis, the old What's the Deal with columnist?
Oh, he's got a new game coming out, Martin Cerulis.
Right, he does. I would love to hear from all the old guard to chime in on the last CGW. I think that would be fun. Don't you?
I do.
George Jones, my old boss, old editor in chief of CGW.
Doesn't he work for the competition now?
Nah.
Does he?
Isn't he at IDG?
He's over at IDG, yeah.
Well, screw him then. I'm just kidding. He can. Elliot Chin, who's now at Sega. There, we have a whole where are they now of CGW editors.
A veritable who's who this issue will be.
Mm-hmm. They've actually gone on to success, many of them.
Believe it or not.
so that's the answer to your question. Will we bring Scorpia back? If she wants to come back, is the answer from us.
To be interviewed by Will O'Neill.
Yeah. Oh, Will O'Neill. There's another one to bring back.
That's right.
Yeah, but we'll just have to watch his mouth there.
Just feed him a drink. He won't notice.
Yeah. Okay. That's about it, I think, for us. I personally apologize for this week's podcast.
As do we all.
We'll be back next week, will we? Sure, we'll be back. We'll be back next week. with more rousing fun with your gang here at CGW. We love you. Keep on gaming. And Ryan, any last words of wisdom?
No.
You're like, okay, you're like the douchiest Silent Bob ever. Come on.
He's been very quiet this month. Quiet, but very hirsute. Ryan Scott, we got to post a picture in the magazine of Ryan's new look.
The badass beard.
Badass.
Maybe in the last issue. My staff box picture.
All right. Okay, well, we're done talking as of right now. Goodbye. See you next week.